recently enjoyed a beautiful, meaningful, and lovely trip to Bangalore, the capital of Karnataka, the Silicon Valley city of India, the city where my family bonds strengthened and we all made a merry time. My joy could no better be expressed than in written diary form, so here I announce a new book, a travel diary, a pile of pages with scent of essence of family bonds and relationships. And the book title is Bangalore and Bingo. Why Bingo? Because it was a surprisingly lovely experience. And now no more details and descriptions of the book. Rest is to be read and tasted for the interested curious ones. You can always pre-order it now on Amazon.in. I'll leave the link in the show notes. Well, it's time to jump to the topic of the day. Today I'm going to talk about some important actions of serotonin. Welcome all to Is Pharmacology Difficult? Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Radhika Vijay, MBBS MD Pharmacology, and this is the audio hub to get the best simplified basic tips, strategies, methods, and lots of ideas to learn better, understand better, and make your concepts crystal clear. If you really find, and if there's a question hovering in your minds, is pharmacology difficult? Lend me your ears for a while and let in the magic of knowledge. First and foremost, let's talk about the inflammatory pathologies. In the conditions of inflammation, the 5-HT2A receptors, they are stimulated. A pro-inflammatory effect is produced. It leads to T-cell maturation, recruitment of other immune cells on the inflammation site. All in all, what is going on? A powerful anti-inflammatory response is produced with all the combined actions. Secondly, let's talk about what is going on in the gut, that is the gastrointestinal tract. The enterochromaffin cells of the gastric mucosa, they are the main hubs of the 5-HT, that is serotonin production. I've already told you about the subtypes of the 5-HT receptors. Well, five subtypes of the 5-HT receptors, they are stimulated and in turn they increase or decrease the movement of the smooth muscles of the stomach and the intestine. Whenever you eat food, that food leads to mechanical stretching which influences the release of enteric serotonin. The efferent, EFF, the efferent vagal stimulation causes similar effects. Local regulation of the functions of the gut are also affected upon by serotonin. What else do we need to know? The central vomiting center and the gut serotonin receptors, that is 5-HT3 receptors, they combinedly participate in the vomiting reflex or the vomiting response. Now, this wonderful information validates the anti-emetic property of 5-HT3 antagonists. Do you remember some names? Ondansetron is quite much in vogue. Another one, allocetron, which is very useful in inflammatory bowel syndrome in women. And what kind of inflammatory bowel syndrome? Especially where there's a diarrhea dominance. Well, that's all about the gut info. Thirdly, let's talk about platelets. They are not involved directly in the serotonin synthesis, but they are a part of the uptake of serotonin via the serotonin transporter, that is capital S-E-R-T. And also they are involved in the storage of the serotonin inside the granules. What you need to know is basically when endothelium is damaged, the platelets come in the proximity of this endothelium which is damaged and they release substances which enhance the platelet aggregation. Release of serotonin is also followed. This released serotonin, it binds to the 5-HT2A receptors of the platelets and hallmark the feeble platelet aggregation response. Now, this is initially a feeble response, but later on it is highly boosted upon if there is collagen around this whole response. It becomes a powerful platelet aggregatory response. If the injury is deep, then the deep injury is maybe up to vascular smooth muscles, then the smooth muscle constriction is definitely ensured by serotonin, and also hemostasis occurs. The locally present kinins, thromboxane A2, that is capital TXA2, and the vasoactive peptides, they also support this event of hemostasis. On the contrary, if the serotonin stimulates the release of nitric oxide from the endothelium, its own vasoconstrictor effect and also the vasoconstrictor effect produced by the other agents around is almost nullified. Well, that's an interesting information to know. Let's move further. Lastly, for the today, I'm gonna comment about cardiovascular system, that is CVS. In the cardiovascular system, serotonin constricts the blood vessels in all the beds. I'm talking about the renal beds, pulmonary beds, Planck neck, or the cerebral beds. What happens inside the heart? In heart, many 5-HT subtype receptors, they are present, and the final outcome response is quite unpredictable and mixed, kind of interplay of the effects of all. Some of the receptors are excited, some are depressed, sometimes it's a prominent nerve effect of the autonomic nervous system, or other times it is the reflex response to 5-HT or serotonin which dominates. Generally, serotonin effects are excitatory, causing positive inotropic and chronotropic effects on the heart. These are actually depressed by the effect of the efferents, AFF, nerves from the baroreceptors and the chemoreceptors. So, when we are talking about all these things, it's the apt and a good time to know and refresh our knowledge about the Bezold-Jarisch reflex. BEZOLD, Bezold, JARISCH, Jarisch, Bezold, Jarisch reflex. This is caused by the stimulation of the 5-HT3 receptors on the vagal nerve endings. And what happens? The results, they are severe decline and decrease in the heart rate and the blood pressure, that is severe bradycardia and hypotension. What are the other effects? Another effect is the inhibition of the serotonin by arterial blood vessels. And what are the reasons of this inhibition of 5-HT? The reasons are like nitric oxide production from the endothelium. Another reason can be like synthesis of prostaglandins. And last reason can be like norepinephrine release is depressed from the sympathetic nerves. Well, these are a kind of an effect, and on the contrary, what is going on? It is seen a good enhancement of the constrictor effects of noradrenaline. Also, the good enhancement of the constrictor effects of angiotensin 2 and histamine. And all these things, they are helping to effectively produce hemostatic response to serotonin. Rest and more actions of serotonin will be discussed in the upcoming episodes, so always stay in touch. Let me put it in a kind of a melody, a tune by the song of Mariah Carey. Things come and are gone. I always make a point to go on and on until forever. For all the listeners and learners forever, you will always be the special ones. I hope that was put in the right melody and in the right essence and meaning. For all the updates and latest episodes of my podcast, please visit www.ispharmacologydifficult.com, where you can also sign up for a free monthly e-newsletter of mine. And that is the Pharmacology Further e-newsletter and podcast. Recently, I've just released the episode of February 24, and it was also delayed because of my trip. The links are for all these at my websites and specifically here in the show notes also. It actually contains a lot of updates about medical sciences, drug information updates, and my podcast updates also. There are lot many different sections like From My Classroom, Simple and Sparkling, From the Rajanvis Writing Desk, and last but not the least, Off the Cuff Talks. You can follow me on different social media handles like Twitter, Insta, Facebook, and LinkedIn. They all are with the same name, is Pharmacology Difficult. If you're listening for the first time, do subscribe and follow whatever platform you are consuming this episode. Stay tuned. Do read and review on iTunes, Apple Podcast. Stay safe, stay happy, stay enlightened. Thank you.